and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Before we join our broadcast today, I want to thank you once again for listening to our program. Everywhere I go, I meet people who thank us for our God in Our City broadcast. I also want to ask you to help us. Would you consider today partnering with us to keep this live broadcast on the air? If you would, please just simply call 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or go to calvarychapelsi.org, calvarychapelsi.org, and click the God in Our City donate button to contribute. Thanks so much for partnering with us. Thanks so much for being a part of this broadcast. For any gift today of any amount, we will send you free of charge today's message, along with the Pocket Bible Old Testament Commentary by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. This is a great personal reference book to have, as well as a great gift to give to a friend or relative. We are sure it'll be a blessing to you. Now, let's go to the broadcast.
How many of you were singing your very best today? You know, there's a commandment against lying. It's one of the 10, I think, isn't it? Our politicians ought to read that one. Well, that's another story altogether. We're going to have an amazing service together today. We're going to draw closer to God. You may be seated. In a moment or so, we're going to sing some more songs, more music together. We just have had an amazing week here at Calvary. We have always Monday and Wednesday night our Bible Institute, and that is a blessing, I know, to all of us who teach, all of us who share, and I think all who attend. Because you keep coming back and attending. If it wasn't a blessing, you'd be kind of silly to do that. But it's a blessing. So Monday and Wednesday, we had our Bible Institute. But Wednesday, we participated in an amazing event. We partnered with World Vision and a particular company that gives away one small pencil bag filled with pencil goodies for every pencil bag they sell. So they came here into Mariners Harbor, and with a team of about 12 people from here at Calvary, we distributed 950 of those to the public school next door to us, PS 44. I have a letter here from one of the teachers. She simply says, and all of her students wrote us letters thanking us for the effort. She said, "Your generosity is so overwhelming. The children were thrilled with their new school supplies. I heard one student say, 'This is the most pencils I've ever had.'" They're great letters from the kids expressing great appreciation. So we had the opportunity to participate in that. And then Mark Sefik took a team of people, I think half of them passed away since then, and redid the floors downstairs completely. So our floors downstairs are shiny as new. So Mark, we thank you and your team for making them so spectacular. And then we had a lot of our leaders out of town. So we were a little nervous about our woman's breakfast. And what we learned is that Rena, when she runs the breakfast, she don't need nobody. So we had a full house of women, many as we normally have for breakfast, and we had a great time. So we congratulate you, Rena, and your team of people for making that happen. I understand Miss Laverne taught a great lesson, brought the house down. So amen, amen. You don't need the old people. You guys are good, man. You got it going on. So we have lots of other opportunities coming up in the coming weeks. We do want to just say a word briefly about our brothers and sisters in both Haiti and Cuba, as well as the Bahamas and Florida and North Carolina. 7 people lost their life in North Carolina overnight as well with this storm. We work specifically with churches in both Haiti and Cuba. We don't necessarily work with a major organization, but with actual churches. And the reports that we have gotten back is that the devastation is severe. And one church that we supported in Haiti with Pastor Lambertine, the church that we actually worked at and built some stuff in, was damaged. And in Cuba, Baracoa, which is what they call in Cuba the Orient, it's the eastern part of Cuba, southeastern part of Cuba, was damaged severely. 8 out of 10 homes in that area were hurt badly. That's where the pastor that we work with there is from. So what we're going to do is, over the next few weeks, we'll be taking a love offering here at Calvary. But for our radio audience, and you can do this as well here, if you will simply go to Calvary Chapel SI and hit the donate button for the radio program, the money will not go to the radio program. The money will go directly to Cuba and to Haiti. That's CalvaryChapelSI.org. CalvaryChapelSI.org is a place to donate to the radio program. It takes your credit card, but those monies will go immediately to Cuba and to Haiti. If you want to call us and make a donation, you can call us at 718-720-5394. 718-720-5394. This is something we all should be involved in and be concerned about. These are our brothers and sisters who really have no resources to rebuild. It's tough when you don't, you know, where you are, you have no resources to rebuild. And we actually take the money and directly deposit it in these churches' bank accounts. So they're liquid and they use them right away. So it's a wonderful opportunity in that regard. So we give you that opportunity, and please avail yourself of it. You can go home today, CalvaryChapelSI.org, or next week we'll be taking a formal offering for that as well. Jay, I've talked enough. It's time for you and the team to lead us into some music.
Sing with us, open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I lift it up.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Holy, holy, holy. see you high and lifted up. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light when darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great,
great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
And age to age,
and age to age. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end.
The Godhead three,
the Godhead three.
Standing, and just come on in, scooch over a little bit, hold hands with folks across the aisle. If there was ever a time in our world we need to hold hands, it might be now. It might be now to hold hands and pray. So let's hold hands. Let's pray together at this moment. Gracious and loving Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the hope that we have because we have a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that when it's all said and done, Lord, we know that we will.
Hi, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and I want to thank you for listening to our program, God in Our City. I also want to ask for your support. We want to keep this live Sunday morning service on the air on WMCA, but there are costs involved. The church supports this ministry greatly, but I need some of you to step up and help. If you truly want a live Sunday morning broadcast on the air on WMCA every Sunday, would you consider being one of our ministry partners? A gift of $50 to $100 would go a long way to keeping us right here where we know the Lord wants us. Call us right now at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org, calvarychapelsi.org, and click on the God in Our City donate button to contribute. For a gift today of any amount, we'll send a copy of today's message along with the Pocket Bible Old Testament Commentary by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. This is a great personal reference book to have, as well as a great gift to give to a friend or relative. We're sure it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you again for listening. Now back to our broadcast.
Help those families in the midst of this tragic shooting, Lord. Somebody opened firing on them. Lord, thank you for the commitment of our first responders. Please keep them safe. Please keep them safe. Lord, we live in crazy times. Lord, we are grateful that we may elect our public officials, but ultimately you select them. And Lord, we find great comfort in that. Lord, sometimes though it is so difficult to choose between the lesser of two evils as opposed to the evil of two lessers. Lord, we pray for a nation that becomes different, so that's not the case. We pray for the renewal, the revival, the change that's necessary in your church, so your church can be all that it's supposed to be and make the difference that it needs to make in the world that we live in. And now, Lord, please be our teacher, be our helper, be our guide. We pray continually for our sister Margot, just that you'll bring, Lord, a total restoration of her back, Lord, and we look forward to seeing her. We pray for your help for her. We pray for Mrs. Weeks, who celebrated, Lord, an amazing birthday this past week. And we pray, Lord, for your hand to be upon her. Now, Lord, teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me into it to the book of Joshua. Now, for some of you, this is easier to do than for others because you're going to hit your tablet and you're going to press three times and you're there. Or you're going to hit your smartphone or whatever. I don't begrudge you that. I would tell you that you ultimately will do better if you have a Bible and you page through it. It's easier to remember, and the process by which you learn the scriptures is much, much thorougher. But we're going to continue our series on God's grand story. And if there was ever a time in the history of our world that Christians need to understand God's grand story, it's now. God's grand story explains much of what we go through. It explains much of what we're going through. It explains the very nature of men and women. And it shows us that much of what goes on is not new, it's actually a rerun. Perhaps as you look at the political campaign, you go, this is a once in a lifetime campaign. You know, and how are people like this? You know, well, whether it's Lion Hillary or Lust and Donald, we can explain it that men and women are fallen. And where do we find that? Where do we understand that? From the book of Genesis. From the book of Genesis. When someone doesn't have Christ in their life, doesn't have a made new heart, what else is there for them? They're broken. They can't They almost can't stop sinning. We have a hope that though we are not perfect, we do not have to continue in sin. We can have victory. But not in and of ourselves, it's through Christ. So God's grand story helps us to understand even our political campaign. And we'll see in just a few moments how God's grand story explains where we are right now, even as a nation. We're going to look today at Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Heretofore, the stuff that we've looked at has spanned many, many, many centuries. When we look at the book of Joshua, it really only spans about 30 years. And when we look at the book of Judges, I love the book of Judges, because it gives us six spiritual, social, and economic ups and downs for the nation of Israel that last 350 years. And Ruth is contained within the book of Judges. Judges, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth continue the story of God's chosen and contracted people with a special emphasis on the promised land. We might even use the word here, Palestinian covenant. Genesis is the Abrahamic covenant. Moses, or the Mosaic covenant, is found in Exodus. And Joshua and Judges talk about the land and talk about the importance of the land and conquering the land and being conquered in the land. And that's the Palestinian covenant. That's not having to do with the Palestinian people. It has to do with the land of Palestine. In these three unique books, the people of God first conquer the land led by the captain of the Lord of hosts. My favorite scripture, probably in the whole book of Joshua, is when Joshua sees an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, and Joshua sees this amazing captain arrayed in full gear, commander arrayed in full gear, and Joshua said, you know, who are you, whose side are you on? And this amazing Christ in the Old Testament says, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm captain of the Lord's host. You know, sometimes we say, God, be on my side. And God said, you be on my side, you'll be okay. I'm not joining any team. Might be good for Democrats and Republicans to remember that. They are conquered, the people of God, in the land because they're being chastised for their disobedience and their compromise. And then that's Judges. And then the book of Ruth, we're reminded that God has provided, or God is through Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Because of his unfailing love, we will continue because of his promises. God's promises are something you can absolutely count on. I like to think of myself as a person who's a man of his word. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I try really hard to do it. But here's the honest truth. Sometimes I can promise you something and I can't make it happen because of circumstances in my life or circumstances in the world. I can't pull it off. God is not like that at all. If God promises, you can take it to the bank. When the children of Israel were promised a land, they were quickly moved to Egypt because there was a famine in the land they occupied. The last person in the book of Genesis is a man named, do anybody remember? Joseph. Joseph dies in Egypt, but makes his descendants promise that they will not leave his bones there, that they will take his bones to the promised land. Now, he dies somewhere around 1900, 1950 BC. In the book of Joshua, written 600 years later, written how long? 600 years later. Joshua, seeing by faith that they would be in the promised land, said, no, don't bury my bones here. Bury my bones where? In the promised land. Guess what Joshua does when he gets to the promised land? 600 years later, he buries the bones of Joseph because God kept his word and got them to the promised land. Now, don't you want God to keep his word quicker than in 600 years? You know what I'm saying? You know, if we could do it quicker, I'm a microwave Christian, you know, 60 seconds. But God always keeps his word. Maybe not in the timing that I want him to keep it in, but he always keeps his word. This is a picture of the promised land when it gets all divided up. The promised land for you and I is that spiritual place where we're claiming and experiencing all the provision, promises, and power that I have in Christ Jesus. It's that place where my heart is real, my obedience is immediate, and my life is in sync with what God wants for me. I'm right where I gotta be. Right where I'm supposed to be. You see, we are made to align with God. When we, that is the human race, fell, we got out of sync with God. So what is our struggle now? Being in sync with who? God. Here's the thing. You and I, when God says for us to do something, sometimes say we don't want to do it. Would you admit to that? Our sin nature, that part of us that rebels against God goes, whoa, no, I want to do it my way. May I ask you a great question today? How's that worked for you? How's that working for you? The journey to the promised land began with crossing the Red Sea. And to get to the promised land from Egypt, one must go through what's called the wilderness, the Sinai Peninsula. And the short journey should have taken upwards to 40 days, but it took God's people 40 years. Spiritual maturity is not brain surgery. Now, I wish I could do brain surgery on certain people so they would spiritually mature, but that's another discussion. Spiritual maturity is not even complicated, but for a lot of us, to move from here to here should take a year, and we choose to go around and around and around together now and around and around. We'll get to here, but it doesn't have to take that long. The children of Israel struggled with going to the promised land, number one, because they wanted to go back to Egypt. Doesn't that sound crazy? Their argument is, in Egypt, we had leeks and garlic. And this is why you wanted to be in Egypt? They were nostalgic for the way it used to be. I call this the it wasn't so bad syndrome. In other words, we actually can come to believe that being enslaved as the children of God were isn't all that bad. It's bad. It's a mess. Before I knew Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, sin said jump. I said how high? I was stuck. So why do I want to go back to being stuck? I don't. I had no relationship with God that had any real meaning. Why would I want to go back to that? Do I really want that for my life? Number two, we don't take or go to the promised land because we become comfortable in the wilderness. We become comfortable running around in circles. We begin to think that's normal. I'll call that the settling disease. We convince ourselves it's not healthy to be intense and try to move on. Don't go crazy about that faith thing. No. Take it easy. You don't want to be radical. I had one person say to me, doesn't the Bible say do all things in moderation? You probably heard that. Don't be serious about it. In the same text it says to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, give up everything. That's intense. And finally, we don't take the promised land, watch, because we're afraid of the giants. Not the New York Giants. I'm not sure anyone's afraid of them right now. But the giants. In Numbers 13 through 14, the 12 spies go in, and they come out and give the report, and Caleb and Joshua said, there's giants in the land, but we can win. The 10 other spies said, there's giants in the land, and we'll get beat. The people said, we ain't going to go see no giants, man. For some of us, we convince ourselves that the God who delivered us won't take us to the next level. The God who saved us will not help us beat the giants in our life. For some of us, the giants are people that we're afraid of, that have intimidated us or have done us wrong. And we know if we are going to go further, we're going to have to face those people. We're going to have to disappoint or say something to those people that we're not comfortable doing. For some of us, it's a habit or something that's overcoming us. And we go, I can't do that. Please. For some of us, it's just plain fear of the unknown. So we hang on to something we don't need to hang on to because it's a giant. God is able to help us overcome any and all of those. Let us move now to Joshua. Joshua fought the battle where? Jericho. Where are you fighting? Joshua records the conquering people. God has brought them now into the promised land or at the verge of the promised land, and they're going to have some amazing victories. But God says this to Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8, says this to him that he needs to do this. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, the book of the law is the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible that we've already looked at, because it's the contract that God made with Israel. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, he'll say. But you shall meditate in it how often? Day and night. So that you may be careful to do all according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Joshua, follow the contract. And you will be successful. Just follow it. I don't know why it's so hard. God gave us the instructions, right? God gives us the instructions and we go, you know, let me improve on it a little bit. It's like, you know, sometimes we're like someone who buys a brand new car that says, it says on it, put regular gasoline. And we go, you know what? We know better. Let's get some iced tea and pour it in. I'm sure it'll be fine. Oh, what does it say? 10-30 oil. You know what works better? Peanut oil. Oh, tranny fluid. Okay. Anything pink will do. Let's use lemonade. The product is you would destroy your new car, right? What happens when you don't follow God's instruction for your life? You destroy the life that God has given you. Why? You just didn't follow instructions. It's not that complicated. I find this particular little bit of history very, very, very important and poignant. In Genesis 15, 16, God says to Abraham, it's going to be some years before you take the promised land. Winds up being 700 years. So Abraham's not going to be around. And he says the reason for this is that the iniquity or the sins of the Amorites is not yet complete. I'm going to get them out of the land, but I'm going to keep giving them a chance. And when their sins have filled up the land, they're out of here. Now, we can't even talk about some of the things that the Amorites did. But he was going to kick them out of the land because of their sins. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. We find an interesting set of verses that goes even further. It says, don't defile yourselves with any of these things, for by these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the punishment of its iniquities upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. A people, a nation, can sin in such a way that God vomits that nation out from its land. Hey guys, America wasn't always here. America doesn't always have to be here. God could vomit us out of this land. And when you think of 60 million abortions since 1973. And you think of babies' parts being sold, you wonder how much time we might actually have before the God of the universe barfs us out of this land and it becomes somebody else's. Somebody say, ouch. Oh, we came on Columbus Day to be encouraged. The outline for Joshua, and my outline's correct, so please use this at all times, is very simple. First of all, they're going to enter the land in Joshua 1:1 through 5:12. And in this, their faith is nurtured. As they come into the promised land, God goes gently with them. He goes very gently with them. He doesn't ask too much of them because they're babies in their faith. First of all, he prepares a leader. Who's the leader? Joshua. Now, who came before Joshua? Moses. How good a leader was Moses? Wow. Led 2.4 million people, right? And what was their favorite saying? Together now? Moses. But he led them. He led them. He was an amazing leader. Would you want to follow Joshua? Would you want to follow Moses? I wouldn't want to follow Moses. The guy who parted the Red Sea. Guy who performed those 10 miracles called the 10 plagues. So the Egyptians said, please leave. They go through the Red Sea, and then he takes his staff and goes, you know, drowns Pharaoh's army. Do I want to be the guy who has to follow that? Then they're in the promised land. What do you need? Something to eat? Manna? Doom. Water? Doom. Quail? Doom. Oh, I got to go up in the mountain and talk to God personally. Whoa! I don't want to follow him. I want to follow the guy who follows Moses. I don't want to be like the guy after. But Joshua has to follow Moses. God says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. But then he says three times. How many times? Three times. Be strong and courageous. Now, if in the same chapter I got to say that to you three times, what would that indicate? That you ain't too strong and you ain't too courageous at that moment. If I said to Judy, Judy, be strong and courageous. And then I walked away and I said, oh, Judy, let me just remind you something. Be strong and very courageous. Judy, would you be strong and very courageous? Obviously, this is a major thing that Joshua has to deal with. And then God prepares the land. In Joshua chapter 2, we have the two spies going back in the land. Just two. And they stay where? Does anybody remember? Rahab. She runs a bed and brothel on the other side of the Jordan. Jericho. And the children of Israel were afraid because there were giants in the land. But what did Rahab tell? What did Rahab tell the two spies? Our hearts melt. We're more afraid of you than you're afraid of us. God then provides a way by parting the Red Sea, and God prepares the people. And then in Joshua 5:13 through 12:24, the people conquer the land. And they do it in an unusual, miraculous way. Great, great military strategy. Let's take Jericho. How are we going to do it? We're going to march around once a day. And on the last day, we're going to march around seven times. And then watch this strategy. Here it is. We're going to shout. And the walls will come tumbling down. You don't have to go to military school to figure that out, that that's a little crazy. But they follow what God says, and they win. They win in the north, they win in the central, they win in the south, they win everywhere. And my favorite part of this is, most of the time when they win, they leave rock piles. And the rock piles are to help them remember how great God has been. So if you see me with a rock pile, ask me, what did God do make you drop that rock pile? They then come to the 13th chapter. And they've won. They're victorious. But there are a bunch of the tribes of Israel. And how many tribes were there total for Israel? 12. There's a number of the tribes who've not taken possession of the land. They're just kind of waiting around going,
And Joshua said, man, what? Take the land.
Oh, that's an idea.
Their faith is expanded. And finally, they're to keep the land. Their faith is continued. In these chapters, the last chapters of Joshua, they stand at this beautiful set of mountains in Israel. The mountains are 1.5 miles apart at the top, but 500 feet apart at the bottom. And they speak the curses and the blessings of Deuteronomy 27 and 28 about what God says they ought to be doing about the contract. And then Joshua challenges them. He says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, this is his last sermon to them, as it were, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers serve in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then we hear that amazing statement. But as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. The people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve another God. See the decisiveness, though? As for me and my house, what are we going to do? We will serve the Lord. At some point, you know, you have to make that call. You have to say, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Note the exclusivity of it. Who are you serving? The Lord. You can't serve several other gods. Your house has to decide who it's going to serve. And you have to decide in your house who you're going to serve. Can you serve money and God? No. Can you have some little saint statues and serve the Lord? Get a little Santeria going and serve the Lord? No. Exclusivity. We will serve the Lord. They conquered. They won. Now they're going to continue. Except the book of Judges. Except the book of Judges. The book of Judges has the following title from Watson. Watson's title for the book of Judges is, when anything goes, everything goes. The people eventually wanted to be free from faith, free from the restrictions of the Jewish law, from the teachings of Moses. They wanted to do kind of what they wanted to do. The end product of what that was, they just went further down, further down, further down, further down. They became a mess. Judges 2, 10 and 11 kind of sums up what was going on when it says, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. This is the generation of Joshua. This is the generation of Joshua and then his kids. And it says, there arose another generation after them that did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. You can almost hear the generation before the one that went bad. Listen to what they said. We don't want to push our faith on them. Let's just let them believe whatever they choose to believe. We don't want to be dogmatic or shove it down their throats. We're just going to let them choose when they're old enough. Whatever they want, whatever would work for them. Because we don't want to be judgmental. We want them just to do what they think is best. What happens when you do that? The world gets your kids. The people in the land got the kids of the Jews. This generation chose not to push its faith on the next. The product of it was the next embraced the false teaching of the Baals and left the living and true God to serve a bronze or brass cow.
This won't cost you anything extra. We don't need to take a second offering for it. But my suggestion to you is, tell your children to open wide, because you're shoving your faith down their throats. Because if you don't, something or someone else will shove their belief down your kid's throat. If your kids live under your house, under your roof, here's the rule. You go to church. You don't want to go to church? You don't want to go to an evangelical church? No problem. You don't have to live here. It's easy. It's easy. You say, well, you know, I don't. Okay. We have an obligation. I have a sacred obligation to pass from myself, to deposit in my kids, the next generation of my faith. I have that as an obligation. Your children will fight you on that. They will say, no, 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 I don't want to go. I got to do this. 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 You need to fight them. I'm tired of fighting. Well, don't get tired of fighting. Struggle with them and tell them it's my way or the highway. You have that obligation. If you don't, we fail. The success. Notice, one generation. How many generations? Together now. One. The faith of the fathers was lost in how many generations? Because one generation decided to get along with everybody. Be a contentious parent for your kids' hearts and souls. If it gets ugly, it gets ugly. But it's worth the fight, isn't it? It's worth the fight. Outline for judges, and my outline is perfect. So please always use this outline. It talks about the reasons for apostasy. And one was politically, there was partial obedience. They were told to kick the nations out of the land, and they said, this is going to be too hard. So we'll tolerate it. We'll tolerate it. And then spiritually, what happened was their kids married the children of those in the land, and their values were compromised. And no longer were they servants of the one true God. They were servants of the one true God and servants of Baal. God will not share his glory with any. And this is important. It never works the other way. So remember how it works. Bad company corrupts good morals. Let's say it together now. Bad company corrupts good morals. It doesn't work the other way. Do not think, if you are a single person here today, if you are a single young person today, I'm going to date so-and-so who doesn't share my faith, and it's going to work out perfectly. They're going to come over to my side. It ain't going to happen that way. Let me tell you what that's called. It's called dreaming. It's called non-reality. It's called fantasy. You might as well call Mr. Rourke and the tattoo, the plane, the plane. It's a joke. It always works this way. Bad company corrupts good morals. It always works this way. Bad company corrupts good morals. I could today take you through the whole Old Testament and illustrate it to you time and time and time and time again. But let's just go to the New Testament and say, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because God knows what he's saying. That's the truth. If you think you can break God's laws, there's a name for that. One is fantasy, the other is stupidity. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we also reap. The record of apostasy. And I call this the six cycles, or the downward vortex of stupidity. Because that's what it is. When you read the story of Judges, you're tempted to think that things are getting better. But in reality, if you read each story carefully, by the time you get to the end, you get to, who's the guy? Samson. Samson's not the best judge. He's the worst. He knows everything that's right and does the opposite.
It's a downward vortex of stupidity. You see, the people kept getting worse and worse and worse because they weren't serving the one true God. Worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So who did God have to choose from to be a judge? Was the pool getting better or worse? It's getting worse. So the product was, when you come down to Samson, there ain't nobody. But before him, there's Jephthah, who's thinking about sacrificing his daughter. Before him is Gideon, who having served the one true God, turns his back on God shortly after he delivers everybody. The pool is of more people who are worse and worse and worse. We live now in a post-Christian America, a secular society. The pool of people who can lead us, the pool of people who can lead us. You say, how did we wind up with such crazy candidates? Hillary, who practices the politics of personal destruction. Trump, who practices the politics of self-destruction. And we need reconstruction. How did we get this? It's the pool that's left, guys. This is what you have when you have a secular society. This is what you have. It reflects who we are. So what do you do in the midst of it? You say, God, help us, we're idiots. God, help us, the problem is us. Who's supposed to change the society? Me and you. We're the Salt and Light Company. Should we be surprised? Should we be surprised that people who do not have Christ as Savior say bad things? Shock! People who don't have Christ say bad things. Shock! People who don't have Christ lie. Shock! Bulletin, bulletin! We must change the dynamic by being who we're supposed to be. We see in this array of cycles a very simple, simple formula. Decay, the people get worse. Discipline, God spanks them by sending an enemy who dominates them. Deliverance, God is merciful and God delivers them. It's a beautiful map of the crazy cycles. Do you see the vortex in the middle? That's stupidity. In this particular election cycle, sometimes I feel like I'm near the bottom of the vortex about to crash. But just when I think it can't get any worse. WikiLeaks gives me some documents from Hillary, and somebody's got a great video from the Donald. If you want to see my ultimate opinion of it, go to nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com. Read my article called Election Angst. The result of this apostasy is a lack of love for God, idolatry. The Levites, who were supposed to be the holders of the truth in the tribes of Israel, they had no inheritance because the Lord was their inheritance. They were to take care of the tabernacle and they were to be the holders of the law of God, are actually worshiping fake idols. They're contracting out to be the guys who are your priest. Oh, you need a priest for your idol? I'm in. How much? And then there's the lack of love for your neighbor. We have this. If you read Judges 19 through 21, it's Game of Thrones on steroids. It's just horrible. A Levite has a concubine. Probably not a good thing. He goes to a town, turns into a town of Israel, hoping to get safe haven, and the men want to rape him. Probably not a good thing. How far had they come? So he gives his concubine to them to do with her what they want overnight. Wow, that's great. They rape her to death.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.
I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Our church is working very hard to reach all of Staten Island and our whole city with the life-transforming message of Jesus Christ. But we can't do it alone. If you can help support this ministry and the cost of us getting on the air live every Sunday morning here on WMCA, we would greatly appreciate it. We're counting on you. To give a gift, please call us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org, calvarychapelsi.org. And click on the God in Our City donate button to make a contribution. And again, for a gift today of any amount, we'll send a copy of today's message along with the Pocket Bible Old Testament Commentary by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. This is a great personal reference book to have, as well as a great gift to give to a friend or relative. We are sure it'll be a blessing to you. Be sure to come back next week for another live broadcast of God in Our City.